One of the things Pope Francis has stressed over the course of the Jubilee of Mercy has been welcoming the stranger, especially at a time when migrants are fleeing areas of conflict in the world and looking to make a better life in Europe and in countries such as Australia. The city of Melbourne in Australia can boast a wealth of diversity and is the country's most culturally diverse city, with people from over 200 countries making it their home. The Archbishop of Melbourne, president of the Australian Catholic Bishops' Conference, Dennis Hart, spoke to Lydia O'Kane about the importance of welcoming migrants and the positive contribution of immigrant communities to the city and to the country.
I think the Year of Mercy has been a wonderful initiative. It reflects Pope Francis's awareness of the mercy of God and of mercy as being something fundamental to our interaction with each other. And before the year began, we organized a series of seminars entitled Taste and See to enable those who would lead the mercy activities in parishes to come and be briefed on the possibilities. And they looked at the four pillars of parish life: community and hospitality, proclamation and worship, faith and witness, and service and outreach. And the idea was to equip the 600 or more participants with the ability to make the Jubilee alive in their communities. When we came to the opening day, over 3,000 people came to our St. Patrick's Cathedral, and all afternoon they came through the Holy Door of Mercy. One parish travelled more than 30 kilometres by foot into the city. Thousands slowly passed through the doorway all afternoon, staying for prayer and the sacrament of reconciliation. And those kinds of activities were reflected not merely in the cathedral, but in some of the migrant churches, St. Bridget's in North Fitzroy, the Polish church in Keysborough. And people realized that the passing through the doors was a sign of something far deeper, of a conversion and of a growth that they were to go through.
So you mentioned there, Archbishop, you talked about migration churches there and different churches. You mentioned Polish church there as well. And I wanted to ask you, I mean, obviously Australia, there's been a big issue with regard to migration in Australia. How has it been that Australians have welcomed migrants or, you know, there has been a spirit of encounter there?
In Australia, we have welcomed migrants for many, many years, since the Second World War. So for 60 years. And our cities and some of our country areas represent a great amalgam of people from all over the world who live peaceably, who work with each other. We have had vigorous interactions with the government about people who have come by boats and have been placed in the islands off Australia and not allowed to come here while their criteria are examined. And this has been something in which we've been saying to the government, well, we are a big country. We have a small population. We have a high level of prosperity. It's our duty to welcome migrants. And it's our duty to welcome those who really struggle. And the present government policy is a real difficulty for us who try and live the gospel, because we're not able to do that welcoming to the extent that we should.
You were talking a bit earlier there about having that spirit of different groups actually really adding to a year like the Year of Mercy, having that sense of faith that can really help celebrate a year like this, different minority groups.
Yes, I think that's been true of really the Italian parish in North Fitzroy have had a wide variety of people who have not only come through their Holy Door, but have prayed and worshipped and experienced the theme of mercy according to their own traditions. And I think throughout the year we've had not merely visits to churches with Holy Doors, but regional gatherings. For example, at St. Monica's in Moonee Ponds, there was a special Ash Wednesday celebration, a time of adoration and prayer at the cathedral, a Pentecost and charismatic gathering, and a Marian celebration with Bishop Peter Elliott in the Church of the Assumption in Cheltenham. So there's been great nuancing and variety in what we've been able to do. More than this, of course, we've tried to have a number of local and international speakers. Baroness Sheila Hollins from London came speaking about the medicine of mercy. Professor Monsignor Thomas Harlech, a Czech Monsignor, promoting mercy and healing. Dr. Susan Timoney from the Archdiocese of Washington, a spirituality of mercy in parish life. In other words, what we've been trying to do has been spiritual and practical, and trying to be at the level of ordinary people so that they can see that mercy is an essential ingredient of living the gospel. That's why our Office for Evangelization prepared a resource pack to assist parishes in marking the beginning and the conclusion of the Jubilee, and a booklet entitled The Parables of Mercy was also provided. But there's been considerable flexibility for parishes. One parish had a renewal day on living mercy, including a presentation on Pope Francis and the Year of Mercy, a prayer session aimed at engaging local families, and others, of course, one of our country parishes, 200 kilometres away from Melbourne, has five little country churches, and they designated a holy door in each of the churches, and they made up a long key of plywood and encouraged the children to carry the key through the door of mercy to show that mercy was the key to relationships with God and with others.
I wanted to ask you, Archbishop Hart, with regard to what you've been hearing, feedback from parishioners, also feedback that your priests have been getting, how have people viewed the Year of Mercy? What have they found it a positive celebration? And has there anything that surprised you about the Year of Mercy in your archdiocese?
I think when the Year of Mercy was first announced by Pope Francis, people scratched their heads a little bit and they said, well, yes, but we know the mercy of the Lord lasts forever. That's evident in the Psalms. But I think there's been a greater awareness among people in parishes that living mercy means the corporal works of mercy. It means an awareness of a merciful attitude towards each other and a welcoming with mercy and humbly to all who come to the parish place of worship. One thing was also very evident in the Little Sisters of the Poor nursing home in Northcote, that the residents, who are largely elderly and not all very ambulatory, they had regular reflection time on the gospel parables of mercy and on the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Other parishes have had a special night with talks and hymns and film clips and prayers and discussion, and leading to, and this was the thing that really attracted me, they all led to practical applications of mercy in the local area and among the local people. And I think that's the thing that is lasting. So it's been quite unexpected. We wanted to explore mercy, explore God's mercy to us. But then I think it's turned us around. Because of that exploration, it's helped us to see mercy as an essential keynote to our interacting with each other.
Why is mercy so important?
I think in an increasingly modern world where people are individualistic and they can become alienated from each other, mercy doesn't allow us to stand back and say, I'm all right and the rest of them can go he. Mercy challenges us to look and see things as the other person sees things, to see that the attitudes and feelings and challenges of the other person are of value and are part of who I am, and they then evoke a response from me, particularly with regard to the Lord in his parables of mercy. We see the way in which the Lord acted, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and so on. That's a way in which we can bring practically into our relationships with others an imitation not merely of the Lord's teaching in the gospel, but of his attitude to people and his infinite, limitless love. And this, I think, is the thing which warms the hearts of people, which encourages us not to give up. And that's the other thing. Mercy is something which really draws us out of ourselves. It doesn't just allow us to do a certain amount and then give up. But it's a little bit like the Lord, when we engage with the Lord in prayer, he, as it were, taps us on the shoulder and invites us to go somewhere further and invites us to go into places that we didn't imagine. And if this is true in the church and in the world, then it's the very opposite of wars and conflicts. It's the very opposite of nations or groups within a country emphasizing their own rights. It's taking a bigger view inspired by the love of Jesus and by the gospel.
As president of the Australian Bishops' Conference and as Archbishop of Melbourne, what do you think is the next step? What do you think that Australians can learn from this year? What legacy does the Year of Mercy leave for people in Australia, the faithful in Australia?
I think the Year of Mercy calls us to humbly realise who we are, to realise that even in the difficulties that the Church has suffered from the offences of some priests and religious towards children and minors, that it's not merely the repairing of these awful ills, but it's a whole state of mind and a whole way of being the Church, that mercy, compassion, humility, living according to the gospel is the only way to true life.